Welcome to Ebba and Friends. My name is Ebba Dayenberg and my heart lies within the equestrian world. So for today's first episode, I have decided to travel to Holland to meet with the Swedish show jumper Henrik von Eckermann at his farm, See Your Stables. He is currently number one on the FE world ranking, and I want to find out what really drives and motivates him and his horses, and which turning points have been especially important in his life.
Okay, Henrik, here we are. How are you doing today? On a scale of 1 to 10.
On a scale 1 to 10, today I'm 8.
8?
Well, it could be a 10, but I had a little bit of a cough and a bit of in this way, so that's why it's an 8 and not okay. A 10.
I want to start this episode by talking a little bit about your family history. I noticed that when I was doing research that I shared the same name with your grandmother, and actually also your grandfather's grandmother, who was a women's rights activist. And your grandmother, Ebba, was a super cool fashion designer. And even Christian Dior sold her clothes, the famous Ripsa skirt. First of all, how is your fashion sense?
I try to look clean. My wife is doing my fashion, I think. It's not my strong part. No. I leave that to her.
So it seems like you grew up with strong personalities in your family. How was the dinner conversations at home when you grew up?
I think very normal. Yeah. No elbows on the table. I remember actually we had, in old days, you had like a round thing with spikes on. Mm-hmm. That you would put on the table then if you put, you know, so you
your
wouldn't
elbow.
Put any elbows there.
Really?
So this was, it was from older days to make sure that you're sitting correct at the table.
Yeah. And were you and your grandmother close?
We were living very close to each other. And
what version of Ebba did you get, your grandmother?
Of course, the grandmother version. I mean, she always helped me with if it was something from school. I always walked past my grandmother and got a milkshake.
Yeah.
And my grandmother was more the. My grandmother became very religious,
mm-hmm.
and that I maybe saw a lot from grandmother. I mean, we went to church and so on.
Are you religious today?
I wouldn't say, I don't know, you believe always in something, but not in the way she was. She was very religious, but she was not trying to make us somehow, I mean, me and all my two brothers, convince us that this is the way you should think or believe. When we asked, she told us. But I have to say, it was nice to see how religion can make comfort into a person, because that was one part that I got from her.
I can't help to think that perhaps Henrik's self-confidence and belief in himself might derive from having strong-headed women in his family. Last summer, Henrik not only accomplished an individual and a team gold at the World Championships in Herning, in 2021 he also won Olympic gold with the Swedish team in Tokyo.
And just for our listeners to understand exactly how much you need to know when you are number one in the world, I have prepared true or false questions for you about random horse knowledge. Horses have the largest eyes of any land animal.
False.
False? True, actually.
Oh, You see.
Sweden's team gold at the World Championships was the country's third.
No, that was the first gold.
Correct. Horses and the hippo are closely related.
Phew. You're gonna look, make me look ridiculous here. No.
No, that's true. Okay. They're not. They are actually very far from each other.
Yeah.
Hugo Simon is considered the oldest winner of a show jumping Grand Prix, as he won the 2-star Grand Prix of Eibrichsdorf as a 69-year-old.
That is not true. I think Michel Robert been winning something after when he's 70.
Maybe that's a new record then, because this is what stands now.
Okay.
But maybe there might be a new one.
Maybe it was not a 2-star Grand Prix, but I'm sure that Michel Robert won something after his 70, but it could have been a normal 150 or something like this.
Yeah, maybe so. But can we talk a little bit about what you're looking for? What is it that drives you and motivates you to continue? Is it the 76 seconds in the arena, or?
I really like, you know, the daily work with the horses every day and with my family and, you know, this here at home.
Yeah.
But of course, the ring also drives me. It's a combination of many things, and it's also my work. It's the only thing I can do.
Yeah.
And so it's the life I really enjoy, you know, being with the animals and I don't have a schedule in that way, you know. I have to be there at 7 o'clock, and then this is a bit of a freedom for me. I can do every day a little bit like I choose, and to do that with my wife and now my son, and we build this together.
Are you happy?
I'm very happy.
You're very happy. So a part of riding is obviously that you want to have the perfect feeling.
Of course, you're always looking for the perfect round. You have the results, but sometimes the results doesn't... I mean, you can have a lucky day because the horse was in a fantastic form and maybe the competitor behind you didn't have his round of his life, and that's why you won, and so on. The biggest joy I have, of course, when I have the feeling I was absolutely the best. You know, there were no one to beat me, and the way it was, the round, how it was as perfect as I could imagine. Even if I look back, I never had a perfect round. Sometimes I thought I had, and then I look at the video, and then I say, oh, that could be always a little bit better, you know. You're always trying to improve to the perfect, but I doubt that I will come to that one day. But that's good. I mean, that's maybe why I keep on driving for it and I keep on working for it, because I'm looking for the perfect, but it's difficult to get.
Have you had one ride where it has been like 98% perfect?
At the World Championship, for example, I had one round and I thought really that it was really, really good.
Yeah.
But then I watched the video and then I said, could be better. It's not that I have one round that I say, okay, this was 100%, I don't think. If I'm really critical when I watch the videos, yeah. I'm trying to, because you also have to somewhere have to also say, okay, that was good. You cannot always just say, you have to somehow find a part where you say, okay, this was good. We have to, of course, get better, but be happy with it.
It sounds like you're extremely critical to yourself, which you should be if you're an athlete, or a top athlete, I think, because that comes with the job, that you have to constantly evaluate yourself, right? But with horses, you also have to be very forgiving and soft and have a very warm inside. Do you feel like that is hard to balance sometimes?
No. I think probably when you were younger it was more difficult, because you had maybe then more drive just for the sport wise, and when you get older and a bit wiser, it's easier. That's why I'm always trying to get to the perfect round, because you want to have this one with the horse, and not that I'm only riding good. It's one thing, but to have the combination with the horse. That is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So you can say, okay, I did a good round. I did my distances was good and this was good, but it was still not really with that connection with the horse that it can be.
At 41 years of age, Henrik can look back at a lot of important decisions. When he was in his 20s, he decided to move to Germany in order to spend time and learn from legendary top rider, Ludger Biermann.
What drove you to go to Ludger? And was that like an obvious choice to go to Germany and really work your way up there?
Okay, Ludger was always my idol when I was young, when I went to Gothenburg Horse Show and watched the World Cup. I mean, he was far the number one. I looked up to him, and when I was a young rider, my parents, they were quite clear in the way, I mean, they supported in the way they could support me when I was a junior and a young rider. But they were very clear already when I was, I think, 18 or 17 or something like this, that they would support me to finish with my young rider, so to 21. And then somehow I have to stand on my own legs.
Mm.
When that came closer, I of course started to think a little bit, what should I do? And we had the farm at home, so I tried to start my own business to then ride horses for other people to make sure that the money comes in to pay my bills. And I had trainings in the evenings, but along the way I started to feel that, okay, like it is with the farm and all this, you have to work to get it to just move around. And I had the feeling I was more in the office and more training other people, and instead of doing the sport, what I wanted to do, what my dreams were always. So I started to look a little bit, what should I do different? How can I achieve this goal? Because like this, I will not achieve it. I was lucky that I knew the groom of Lutke Beba, Marlin Lindskog.
Yeah.
So I was always already before that, you know, I was always on her a little bit, said I could make sure that I can come down and have a look and just to be there, you know, and just get some inspiration and so on. And I got an opportunity to come there for 1 month. And I said, okay, this is where the sport is. This is where my dreams are. I have to do something to make this happen instead. So I went home, sold everything off, what I had in horses, and went to Germany.
And what did Lutger think of you as a rider?
I think in the end he didn't think I was so bad. But in the beginning I was very, I mean, I had no education in that way. I mean, I had many good people before this that helped me on the way, if it was Anna Ringborg or John Hickey or Peder Fredriksson, that I was many times by when I was not in school. I went there and spent time. But to that professional life I never seen before. And of course that was my Harvard school, you know, it's because the riding is not only be able to ride good, you need the manage the business wise, the, you know, how do you deal with horse owners, how feeding blacksmith, vet, all these things, and it was extreme good school.
Speaking of Peder Fredriksson, we actually called him on our way here.
Okay.
To ask him a little bit about you.
Henrik, he's a fantastic teammate. I would say he's actually the best you could have, because he's an extremely uncomplicated guy. He really wants results, and you know, he's a great friend. He's very determined. He's very focused on one goal. He doesn't spend much energy on things which is not important for reaching the goal he wants to reach. And I have one question I would like to know, because I've seen when he does really well, like in important class, and often when he does his best results, I see him running towards the toilet.
Yeah.
So my question to him is, what is going on in his head when he's running? Because he must be something good, because he performs fantastically. You know, the faster he runs, the better he'll go.
We look forward to hear him answer.
I run to the toilet quite often because two things. I mean, first of all, I have to be able to feel that I don't need to go to the toilet before I sit on the horse. And second of all, that's the place where you can be alone. There's no one disturbing you. No one is talking to you. I want to focus a few minutes on the round I'm going to do.
And do you do visualize the jumps, or do you do breathing meditation, or
no, like this, just going through the course, visualizing the course, I would say, and also thinking about, because every horse is different and every horse have their things what I have to think about. You know, one is maybe going a little bit to the left or jumping a little bit better from one side to the other, and you know,
yeah,
these things always to just, because it goes so quick in the ring, so you need to really, if I don't make it completely clear in my head before, I could miss something, and that could be the coming out with one down instead of a clear round.
Has there ever been a time where you have doubted yourself?
Yeah, maybe many times. I mean, you doubt yourself often, not in a way that you say, "Oh, I cannot do this or that," or, but just that these doubting questions in your mind. Is this the right way of doing it? Did I do the right preparation before, after? Is the right schedule for the horse? I mean, that's the main question all the time. I'm questioning myself, what is the best for the horse? Then in the ring, I don't doubt so much. Maybe
go.
That's the stronger part I have. I always go in the ring, even if it's, actually, if I look at that from an outside picture, I would say I don't have a chance to win today.
Yeah.
But that never crosses my mind. I always believe in the last moment I can win today.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing also. So I'm happy. I'm believing this because I mean, in the end, we lose much more than we win. And so if you didn't have that, probably you would stop after a while. I think that it's a good thing. You know, I go in every time and I think, oh, today is my day.
What is something that you need to get better at? What is something that you feel like, okay, this is actually something I want to improve?
It's so many things. I mean, that's also in our sport. We have new horses, so it's a new challenge all the time. And every horse is different, so you meet new challenges all the time. I have the feeling that just the last years I've learned so many new things. If it's, for example, the barefoot thing, you know, that if someone said to me 5 years ago, I'm going to ride all my horses on barefoot, I would have, you know, said, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And now with the knowledge I have about it and around it and all this, it's... I think that's also one thing. I'm very open to new things. I try to get so much information I can. I mean, I'm lucky to go to the biggest shows, to the best riders there are, and I always look all the time for what they are doing and where I can improve and what I can bring home and try to do better.
Has there ever been a time where you have doubted yourself in your choice of career and said, no, I don't want to do this anymore?
I mean, there were times for sure when I was by Lutker, I was there for a very, very long time. And before it really started to take off a little bit, doing the bigger shows, I was a long time doing the same things, young horses and so on. And for me, I wanted to always get more and chase my dreams. And at points, where I had the feeling I was standing still and not going forward, it was a frustration. And then, of course, I doubted. And you always ask, yeah, but it's just because maybe you're not good enough.
But you still wanted to ride, or you felt like, oh, no, I'm...
No, when I was by Lutker, I was there for a long time. But also when it was times where I felt that I'm not going forward, I always thought it was... It was never a time that I threw away, because I learned so much, you know, about the horses, about the management. So whatever would happen, if it would happen that I would not make the sport, I could, you know, train someone. Or I mean, I knew that I had to make a living.
Yeah, it was obvious that you were going to stay in the equestrian world.
Exactly. Exactly.
What is the difference from being an employee at the big stable and for Ludger and from now, when you have your own stable and you choose your own horses?
Of course, it's another responsibility, first of all. I mean, you have to make sure that this place runs and the bills get paid through time. I mean, when I was even by Lutka, I had my ideas how I would like to do. I always followed my gut feeling somehow. And also that feeling I wanted to follow to 100%. And of course, when you're working for someone, it's normal that you have to do what the boss wants. And now when I became my own, I wanted to do 100% my way.
Mm.
I wanted to really look for the horses that I really think that I suit to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really liked, you know, really sensitive horses and with a lot of blood and almost a little bit to the crazy part.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe somehow that when you use this craziness or this blood and put it into to make it on your side, and they use that power just for in the ring, or I believe that makes also them a little bit better maybe than the other ones.
Yeah.
That's what I really like to do, everyday work, to work with these horses, because it's, I mean, we can't speak to them. We try to communicate and learn their habits and what they are telling us, and to work with that. I found my own way of doing it a little bit, and a way that I really enjoy.
That's different.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah.
Henrik stayed with Ludger for 12 years, and in 2019, he and his wife Jannica Sprunger moved into their own self-planned farm, Syr Stables in Holland.
Which horses in your career have been the most important to you?
Now you would say, of course, King Edward, because I mean he made me a world champion and so on. But still, as for my process and for my for example, Enorm was a horse that I was able to ride my first Nations Cup, and the first Nations Cup was in Aachen. I think it was 2009, and that was a very big moment for me.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had Coupe de Coeur that came in, and I could ride the European Championship in. It was so many horses I had that was, and then Aladdings I could do the Olympics with in London, even if it was not a success. And then, of course, Gotha, that I won my first big Grand Prix on, first World Cup, World GCT. One, of course, that is really, really important was Mary Lou, because where I started my own business, 2016, she was there and came along with my start.
Mm.
And without her, I believe I would not sit here today.
So she was a career-making horse in one way.
In one way, yeah. And of course, then King Edward, what the best horse I ever had is King Edward.
Yeah. How does it look to manage him? And what makes him happy and healthy?
Okay, first touch wood. No, but that's the, I mean, that's the main thing what we do. Without healthy horses, we cannot do the sport. I mean, they change by their age, as we do. They get older, they, you know, they get a different way of being, and you have to always monitorize this, and that's the everyday work.
Yeah.
And try to just feel that what is the best for him. I think I found you try to find a feeling for what you believe for this horse. One horse is maybe, for example, that you ride a few more shows in a shorter time and then give them a longer rest. And some horses are that you divide it through the whole year.
Mm.
Yeah, with him, I always do a little bit the same when it comes to championship or World Cup final or so on. Mm. I do a little bit more and then you have a bit of a break and then
it's showtime.
And then it's showtime.
Is there something in, and this can be anything when it comes to, you know, footing or walking the horses or just in the, you know, grooming and taking care of your farm, is there something that you are very strict of because you know that it's good for the horse? For example, my mom, who's a veterinarian, she's always telling me to walk my horse more. If I don't walk the horse 20 minutes before and after riding, I am not her child anymore.
I know, it's very important. She's completely right.
Yeah.
The horses have to move. I want them to move as much as they can.
Yeah.
Also for their minds, you know, so they go out and do different things. Try to, also with the riding, not ride the same every day, you know, change something, launch them.
Mm.
Yeah, try to just keep them motivated, because they need to be motivated.
Yeah.
The day when you have the feeling they're coming in the ring or they go to the show and the, you know, standing in the box. I hate when the horses are standing in the box with the ears out and in the corner, you know. I want to have them when you come. I want them to look up.
To be
and
excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it seems like your horses are very happy here, because they are all coming up to you and they seem very content and calm. I think that's a good...
For sure. I don't want them to, when I come, that they run away and turn around.
No, but it's also when you keep top horses which have a high caliber and who are supposed to be, you know, so at it when you're supposed to, but still be able to be calm and relaxed.
They need to be. It's important that they can relax and get their energy back and so on. And of course, if they're running around in the boxes and using that energy, it's not good. So of course, we try to make them feel as comfortable as they can and know that their environment around them is safe.
Yeah. I'm sure you get a bazillion videos sent to you every week of people who has the new King Edward for you. What do you look at, and what qualities do you really, really want in a horse if you buy it?
I try not to look for the next King Edward, because then I believe I will not find another horse.
Yeah.
That's very difficult when you have such a great horses. You always start to get picky. And you think, but it doesn't have what King have or what Mary Lou had. Mm. Or so I try really not to look in that way, and just try to find that the horse really wants on the other side of the jump. Of course, it needs nerves. I need a horse with a lot of blood, as we say, with small communication. We can do these big tracks, and of course, in a fast way as well.
Mm.
And of course, they need to be careful.
Yeah.
Also need to be brave enough.
Mm.
And that's always a balance.
Yeah. And I guess it's
and
also...
Because also when you look at these horses that are so careful, for example, Mary Lou, if you saw her when she was younger, jumped very high over the jumps. And then you would see, you would say she's very careful and so on, but probably she will not jump the biggest tracks.
Yeah.
But with experience and with this... building confidence, she did it. And this is always the line where you try to find out, will they do it or not?
And I guess it's also what you add to them as a rider.
Yeah, of course, that is our job to build this. This is what we're always speaking about, to be one with the horse, and all this is to build that confidence, that they trust us to do this. And this, what you said, that is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the horse that goes in the ring and is growing when they go in the ring, and not going in, you know, getting smaller and shy. And that I have to say also with, for example, with Mary Lou, when Sunday came, and she knew somehow, you know, and she grew and she took on to it, and that made her very, very good. Or Gotha, for example, also that maybe didn't have the last jump, but they had the mind that was very forward.
We are very fortunate in Sweden to have the show jumping team right now, because it's going so well and you're such a competent team. And what is it that makes everything go so well? There's no stop to your success.
In the World Championships, they also said that we are the oldest team.
Really?
Yeah. And I believe in this sport, experience is a very good thing to have. Of course, we have fantastic horses.
Yeah.
And it's not so often a team, I mean, maybe a team have one of this exceptional
caliber.
Yeah. And we had in the Olympics three of them.
Yeah.
And three also good riders.
Mm.
So that all came together in the right moment, especially the Olympics, because on the way, I mean, it should have been 1 year earlier, and I believe 1 year earlier we would not have that success.
Oh, okay.
Because King Edward was not really ready for that task. He was still quite green, and Orlin was also not in a form, so everything came for us together.
Exactly. Yeah. In your generation of riders, what way do you feel like you have made the sport better?
Have I done it better?
I think what you mentioned before about being a horseman, a well-rounded and well-educated horseman, because you have such a library of knowledge.
Yeah, of course, because I mean the education I had and so on gave me something you need.
Mm.
And I think that is also something in the sport we have to watch out with, because the sport is running faster and faster.
Yeah.
Of course, people want to have success and so on, but I believe in this sport, if you want to have a long success, you really need these fundamental things to stand on. Otherwise, you always, if it's always these holes with these things, what you don't know, you will always drop down somewhere because you're missing few things.
Exactly.
So I hope, anyway, that I give that yeah. on, that the younger people understand that it's better to take the long path
yeah.
and work a bit more than trying to cut corners,
mm.
because 100% that will catch up to you yeah. After a while.
What kind of decisions do you feel have been very life-changing in your career?
For sure, one of the biggest decision, I mean, I took the right timing somehow, I found, to move on to my own.
Mm.
And then, of course, Mary Lou came into my life. And that was a big key, as I said before. But then also to take the, because of course, under the way when we had started with Mary Lou, that was owned at that time by Carl Schneider, who owned the stable as well, there I was renting. We had a very close relationship, and also today. And when she started to do really well with me, of course, there were people asking about the horse. So it was a decision, do we sell? And it was not my one, but I would get a good commission from that. And at that time when I started my own, I started with zero.
Mm.
My bank account was, after the first months of all the expenses were down, and
right.
and there was a decision to say, okay, we sell, and I'm a little bit safer
mm.
on the economic part. But somehow I always think that the long term, and I believed so much in the horse
mm.
that I believed she would do these good things, what she did.
If you kept her.
If I kept her.
Yeah.
And that would bring so much more. That moment was very, because I mean we know also the horses can injure themselves, and then you were standing there, you think, shit, you
yeah.
know, we should have sold, then I would have been a bit more safer then, and not to be worried about paying the bill next month.
Yeah.
So this was one decision. Also very thankful to Carl, because he was saying, okay, we do what you think, and
yeah.
if you think this, then instead of selling to someone, we really tried to find an owner instead, so I could keep the horse
mm.
and work in that way. And we did that as well. And in the end, I mean, family Tovek, what have been a big supporter of me, finally bought her. And that was a very, very, very important moment.
Mm.
It's also something in the business, and what is very important that you are having. I mean, we have a fantastic horse owner, Mr. Georg Kenny, that owns King Edward as well. Also owns Iliana and Khaleesi. He have also been with Jannica for, I think, now in 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, these people are extremely important, because, of course, I don't have the economic possibility to otherwise to keep a horse like
mm.
King Edward. But there are moments, like I said, and this was one, even if I didn't have the economic to keep her, we did,
yeah.
Because we believed. And I believe this was a main key and a main moment for me.
You and your wife, Jannica, we are here at your yard right now, and you are both elite athletes. And King Edward was actually her horse before you took over, right? How do you manage to balance the relationship when you are both competing in the same sport and have a young family? Because you just have Noah, who's turning two soon.
First of all, family is everything for me. I was lucky to be brought up in a fantastic family with my two brothers and my mother and father, who supported me through life in a fantastic way. And it's easy, because I don't have the feeling I do this and she do that.
Mm.
We do it together. We win together, we lose together. Even if I stand in the light sometimes, when I go home, the only one I care about in this way is my family, and I'm, you know, my biggest moment is when I come home and we lie in bed and we speak about and we are proud of what we did and what we achieved, and with our possibilities in our team, what we have with the girls in the stable and our owners and so on. It's a little team, but we try to do as best as we can, and
What do you hope to leave behind?
You know, when I'm dead or?
No, but maybe when you are not competing on the absolute top level anymore.
I hope that they think I was a good horseman. Because in the results, I mean, there are so many people that have been winning so many things.
And
But of course, my son, it means a lot what he thinks about me. I hope he will look up and say, my father was a good guy.
Yeah, you want your son to be proud. I think that's a really good goal as a parent, to have your kids to be proud of you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Henrik. I can't wait to follow you in your journey.
Thank you very much for coming.
Today's podcast was produced by Story Park. Together with Ebba and friends, Henrik decided to donate his fee of €1,000 to the Children's Cancer Fund in Sweden. If you would like to see some more of Henrik, his stables and his horses, check out our channel Ebba and Friends on YouTube.